The subway began making its stops 100 years ago. Nearly 20 years later, another New York institution would make its debut. In 1925, strap hangers got their first glimpse of The New Yorker. The magazine had its great literary articles, but its sophisticated cartoons, which graced its cover and appeared throughout the magazine, became the magazine's signature look. It provided a new amusement for commuters, one that still continues. Are you one of those New Yorker readers who always reads the cartoons first, and do you really understand them all? Yes or no, give us a call. Tell us when your relationship with the New Yorker cartoons began and why. Our phone number is 800-989-TALK. Our email is totn@npr.org. And in preparation for the magazine's 80th anniversary, The New Yorker's cartoon editor, Bob Mankoff, has compiled all 68,647 cartoons it's ever published into one package. And let me tell you, it's not a book, because that would probably be, 47 volumes. It's called The Complete Cartoons of The New Yorker. He's here with us in Studio 3A. Welcome.
Nice to be here. It is a book.
Well, it is a book. I'm getting to that part. And also okay. With us is Matthew Diffie, one of the cartoonists for The New Yorker. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
So, yes, it is a book. In fact, I have it here, and I took the trouble to find out that it weighs 9.2 pounds.
Not just a book, a workout.
It's a workout, yes. You don't have to just, you can read it or you can take it to the gym and lift it over your head. So does this book actually contain every cartoon published in New Yorker? I guess obviously not, because I said not. But what is in the book?
Every cartoon ever published in, the book has
2,000. Could get me in trouble here.
The book has 2,004 cartoons. It has a sample from every year, 30 or 40 cartoons. It's by far the most comprehensive anthology we've ever published, and the CDs have all 68,647, including 352 on the New York City subways. A little anecdote.
Yep.
I myself have done a number of cartoons on the New York subways. I have one cartoon I did is a guy at 14th Street. He's got a sign saying 23rd Street a bust. F train to Coney Island, where you see like a little roller coaster train going with everyone, being happy. Guy laughing on the subway train, ha, 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 and it's called Laugh and the World Laughs with You, but not on the IRT. So every single cartoon and almost every subject you can imagine is in the CDs, and the book has over 2,000.
I would think that there's great inspiration for cartoons on the subway.
There's great inspiration for cartoons, I think, everywhere. Certainly the subways, as a kid, I took three subways to the High School of Music and Art. Here's my little story. I took the Q44A bus. I took the F train to the D train to the AA up to 135th Street and back every day.
How long did it take?
I never did graduate.
Plenty of time to study. So how do you go from, 68,000 to 2,000 that you actually put in the book?
I mean, the idea was is to pick, of course, funny cartoons, but cartoons that were revealing about their times. The classic thing about New Yorker cartoons is they're a vehicle for communicating ideas through the medium of humor. So when you're in the 30s, you understand what the 30s is like, what people laughed at, and you laugh along with them. If you're in the 40s, you see the war. And after the 40s, you see gender roles. And during the early 40s, women they're fine. We have all sorts of funny cartoons about them in the workplace. Soon as after the war, we have cartoons about women being silly or incompetent, such as a woman at a baseball game saying, well, why didn't they tell us they were going to be extra innings?
Yes. Apropos of last night. Well, let me turn to you, Matthew Diffie. You're a real-life New Yorker cartoonist today. I mean, people can see you in the magazine. Tell us about one of the cartoons that you did that made it into the book.
Oh, boy, I don't know which ones are in the book exactly.
The good ones.
The good ones.
The good ones.
Well, they're all
I know
good,
there's my second cartoon of all time was a guy in a salvage yard, and he's kind of leaping through the air, and the sign above the fence says Leon's Auto Salvage and Center for Interpretive Dance.
Yes, I saw that one. The other one I liked was there's a picture of Che Guevara wearing a T-shirt, and on his T-shirt is Bart Simpson.
Yeah. So. I recently moved to Williamsburg, so that came from seeing all the hipster kids with the Shea shirt on.
Williamsburg, Virginia.
Oh, no, Williamsburg, Brooklyn.
See? You leave New York.
You see, it's become Brooklyn. Completely Manhattan.
You don't even think anymore. Yeah. So you're one of the new generation of New Yorker cartoonists. Was that your goal in life, or did you stumble into that?
It wasn't my goal in life, and I guess I did sort of stumble into it. I entered a contest 6 years ago, the first ever cartoon issue, came out, and Bob was the juror of the contest. The Algonquin Hotel and the New Yorker co-sponsored it. You had to send in cartoon ideas having to do with hotel life.
Mm-hmm.
And I was living in Boston at the time and had never thought of putting two of my interests, which are art and comedy, together and until then. And I entered and ended up winning. And Bob had recently become the editor and was looking, I think, to get some younger blood in. So
that's Matt Diffie, cartoonist with The New Yorker, and we're also talking with Bob Mankoff, who has edited this new volume of New Yorker cartoons. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's see if we can take some of your calls for our cartooning experts, friends, sponsors. I don't know. What's
cartoonologists.
Cartoonologists, yes.
There's a degree
cartoonistry
involved.
We're doing here today.
You have to get, I'm a licensed humorist.
Yes.
You need that in New York City.
there's probably a department in the government. Kate in Spokane, Washington, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hi.
Well, I don't really have a question, but
uh-oh,
I did want to comment.
Oh, good.
That even though Spokane, Washington is about as far away from New York as you can get, my brothers and I started reading The New Yorker in the 50s, and we challenged each other to see if we could figure out what the cartoons meant and what the covers meant, no cheating. And my parents still take The New Yorker, and then they turn it over to us, and now my kids keep the darn thing in the bathroom, and they challenge each other, can you figure out what the cartoons are, and can you figure out what the cover is? So thank you for
well, thank you. You know, we, every once in a while, people don't understand the cartoons, and the cartoon issue we have called I Don't Get It, the New Yorker Cartoon IQ Test. So you're on the right track.
Oh, hey, we'll look forward to that one.
All right.
So it's in this book.
No, I mean in the cartoon issue, we have this special feature where we feature old cartoons that people didn't get, and usually the cartoonists write different explanations for them.
Uh-huh.
I got it. Okay, Kate, thanks very much for that.
Yeah, thank you.
Does it your, Bob Mankoff, is it your attitude that the cartoon is funny if it's funny and we don't really mind if a lot of people don't get it?
I got a philosophy that the cartoons are, they're not a comic supplement to the New Yorker magazine. They're integral to it. They're communicating ideas. The way I want to, and David Remnick, is that when you're through these pages, it's like you sort of have curating an exhibit on humor, sometimes a little strange, sometimes a little wry, sometimes a gag. I mean, to a lot of people who say, you know, I don't get it, I say, well, that's because there's no focus group. We don't try to do the demographics. You know, we think you're us. So you know, sometimes I show a cartoon to my wife. She said, I don't get it. And I said, oh, maybe I should try harder.
Okay. Let's see if we can invite our listeners to join us. Richard in Iowa City. Richard, welcome to the program.
Hi. How are you doing?
Okay.
All right. I've been reading the captions under New Yorker cartoons for many years.
And not looking at the pictures?
Well, that's really all I can say that I've read is
well, you know, we did
David Remnick must be very happy.
We did a survey, and it turns out that 98% of the people look at the cartoons first, and the other 2% lie.
There you go. All right. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that what got me hooked was sitting in a dentist's office about 20 years ago and seeing a cartoon by initial M. Tui, my cousin Mike Tui, has been doing and supporting his entire family on just his cartoons for the last 20 or 25 years.
I just saw Mike last week at the magazine.
All right.
Thanks.
Yeah, so I remember one, it's an up-and-coming executive, I guess, in a high-rise in New York at his office, and he's just about ready to push his desk over.
Yeah.
And on the bottom it just says, the terrible 42s.
That's right. I remember that.
Richard, thanks very much
for
the call. Hey, I wonder if I can ask you, Matthew Diffie, I mean, is this a way to fame and fortune? Can you get rich as a cartoonist? Is that what people should be trying in the career box when they're trying to decide what to do?
No.
I did.
Bob maybe the exception.
Well, you've got the tie on, and he's Matthew's just got the button-down shirt.
He
just
started.
I can't.
I'm going to lend him my
tie
later.
I see. We have ties here. So,
I mean, it's a tough thing to get into, and to certainly to make a living at. My first year, I submitted I think 15 a week, and sold 4 cartoons.
For the whole year?
Yeah.
Or for the 15?
For the first year.
Uh-huh.
And then the second year, I think I sold 8. And it hadn't picked up until recently, the last 3 years. I've been doing it 6 years, and it's taken me 3 to figure out what I was doing.
But one thing in which the equation has changed through the New Yorker and through this company that I'm president of, the Cartoon Bank, revenue from cartoons now is doubled from what the New Yorker pays by what people now get in royalties.
That's
such
true.
As this book.
Yeah. Well, I get weird little checks every month.
Well, those weird little, watch the pennies, something like that. Anyway, I think we're out of time. Thank you both very much for joining me. New Yorker's cartoon editor, Robert Bob Mankoff, editor of the Complete Cartoons of the New Yorker, and Matthew Diffie, one of the New Yorker's cartoonists. They were both here with us in Studio 3A. You can see a selection from the Complete Cartoons of the New Yorker at our website, npr.org. Neil Conan returns on Monday. In Washington, I'm Joe Palca, NPR News.